Welcome to Ayurvedic Healing and Beyond podcast. I am Dr. Vignesh Devraj, an Ayurvedic doctor and a holistic health coach. Each week, we share wisdom or interview an inspiring personality to guide you become your healthiest self. Remember, your health is your greatest asset. If you are interested in doing an one-on-one online Ayurvedic consultation to enhance the quality of your health, please check the show notes of this podcast or visit vigneshdevraj.com. In the consultation, we will discuss the steps to integrate Ayurveda in becoming your healthiest version, be it with food, Ayurvedic herbal preparations, lifestyle changes, and also personalized meditations. What makes Ayurveda unique in its healing approach is its practical wisdom on the concept of Vata. Vata is responsible for prana, the life energy. Vata is responsible for the nervous system, which is the master control panel of our body and our emotions. Hence, in Ayurveda, it is mentioned, when you balance the Vata, you balance your life, and the art of healing is actually the art of balancing Vata. With over 15 years of my Ayurvedic medical practice, I have encapsulated my experiential wisdom on what it takes to balance the Vata for a modern lifestyle and designed a course called Balancing the Mighty Vata. This course is filled with practical inputs that can be easily integrated into your lifestyle. Please check the show notes of this podcast to get access for this content or do visit drvignesh.teachable.com. In today's episode, I'm interviewing Jenny Peach, who is an Ayurveda and yoga practitioner who is passionate about yoga nidra, panchakarma and burnout prevention. She runs a wellness clinic and yoga studio in Alberta, Canada. In this conversation, I discuss about the understanding of yoga nidra and how it helps humanity at large considering the modern day stress-related health issues many suffer from. I hope you enjoy this podcast and now we go over to Jenny. Welcome, Jenny. Thank you so much for being part of the podcast. I'm so looking forward for the conversation with you.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I am also looking forward to our time together today.
So Jenny, we talk a lot about yoga nidra, even when we did the mastermind, you know, we were discussing about yoga nidra. And being a yoga nidra practitioner, what is yoga nidra?
Oh, that's such a wonderful question. It is, in my opinion, many things, but I think at the front of it for me is a space for people to remember and experience real rest, right? There is nothing like natural rest, you know, the act of being in stillness where our nervous system can find that space where it's not in the doing, in the fight or flight or freeze, you know. And so I think in the West, a lot of time rest is like sitting on the couch and putting your feet up and watching Netflix in a way, I think for a lot of people who are in a chronic state of stress or doing that, that feels like rest, but truly at a core, it's still activating the nervous system. So it's, our bodies are not really experiencing like true healing. And that does come with, you know, practicing yoga nidra.
I think in today's world, we lost the art of active relaxation. I mean, or being conscious about being relaxed. I think that's what is missing. And that is why more and more yoga nidra, even if you look at some of the apps, Calm or Headspace, in a way, what they're trying to do is guided meditations. But would you agree that guided meditations have a lot of similarity with yoga nidra, or yoga nidra has a lot of similarity with guided meditation? So what's your take on that?
Yeah, you know, I do, there are definitely similarities, right? You are in generally, I think one of the big differences with yoga nidra and why a lot of people find it, I would say, accessible to their lifestyle is that they can lay down. Or sometimes with guided meditations or meditations in general, it's taught in a seated position for in general for many. And, you know, I've had a lot of clients say that I'm at my max. Like I cannot add anything to my schedule that may, you know, entitles me being on a yoga mat or like doing actual physical movements or sitting in silence. That's the beautiful gift of nidra, is that you're in a position of comfort that might look different for different people practicing it, right? And it really does give you the permission to release and just be guided. And maybe you fall asleep, you know, if you come to nidra where you've been in that chronic like stress, lack of sleep cycle, most likely your body will put you into a sleep. And I always tell everyone, that's okay at the beginning. Our bodies know exactly what we need. If we give them the space to do what they do best to heal us, then if you fall asleep for the first few sessions, that's fine. Right? Mm. You'll notice as you move through it, you will start to access that state of like lucid dreaming where you're in between that awake and aware and asleep space. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really interesting. Everyone comes with such unique needs that that's one of my favorite parts about nidra, is it really meets you where you're at.
Sometimes I hear, I don't know if it is coming from an authentic source. However, we hear that if you manage not to be asleep during yoga nidra, the benefits are much better.
Yes. Yeah. I've in my studies too, I've come across that as for sure. Yeah.
So what the idea is to remain.
Pardon?
What makes people fall asleep and how to avoid that so that we get the benefit of yoga nidra?
Yeah. Well, there's a couple of things. Sometimes you have to be mindful not to set yourself up for too much comfort, because then that can trigger the body into sleep, right? Mm. Even the position of your body is something to be mindful of. If the chin's tucked like that, it's a position that tends to stimulate like sleep for us. So it's finding a position of comfort that still allows you to remain, you know, aware of your space. And then, you know, it's okay to ebb and flow out of it. I have many clients, it's like, I don't think I remember the middle part of the nidra, but I know I wasn't asleep. And that is actually the beautiful space to be in, kind of where you're just ebbing and flowing out of it. When people fall asleep, it's been my personal experience, they're just so chronically fatigued that, you know, and they just haven't had, their body hasn't had the opportunity to be in stillness. So when it gets there, it is off. Very much open to the opportunity to truly drop into a rest. And, you know, I know that, yeah, there's a lot of teachers that say that you remain awake and aware. I also prompt that at all of the beginning of my classes, but I also want people just to honor what happens in the practice for them. It will change as your lifestyle changes, as your stress reduces, as your sleep increases, right?
I can relate to that. I mean, for example, there was a time I had a very long haul flight and I was listening to a yoga nidra, and immediately I just shut down. I mean, shut down means went to sleep, or it was a nap. Then I realized it's because I couldn't really relax. Suddenly this was a very good way to talk yourself to falling asleep as well. And some people listen to yoga nidra, not for the yoga nidra, but it's like a great way to fall asleep at night.
Yeah. Oh yeah. They use it as a sleep aid. I giggle. I guess it's a much better alternative than, you know, pharmaceuticals.
Pharmaceuticals.
And there's many of those. Yeah. So I think, like I said, it's very important to meet ourselves where we are. It's not designed specifically for a sleep aid, but if that's where you are in your journey of, you know, increasing your awareness and education and, you know, reducing your stress, then you can practice it in the evening. That being said, I also recommend that all of my clients and rogis practice it midday. You know, maybe if they have an event coming up, practice it before that. It's not only designed for as an evening practice, although in the West it very much is taught in the evening. Yeah, for that reason, we live in a society where we have like the nicest mattresses and the most beautiful, like we have access to all these, what would you say, like amenities that
comforts.
Should increase our sleep. Yet I would say the majority of my clients, some of their very first concerns when they do intake forms is sleep.
It's just in my previous podcast with Eddie Stern, whom we both know. So in that I was saying, we live in a time, this is something I read in a book. I forgot the name of the book. However, this was a statement. We live in a times when our mind is, or nervous system is overstimulated and body is understimulated. In fact, our body was designed for overstimulation, and the mind or the nervous system not so hyperstimulated like what we are experiencing in the current times. So that is why therapies like yoga nidra come so handy and powerful, the, you know, healing forces today. Now, Jenny, in your studying, you know, becoming a practitioner who gives a lot of yoga nidra sessions, did you see anything significant in your clients' changes that you observed? Like after they practiced this, these are the changes that you saw in them.
Yeah. I would say when I think about the majority, like what some of the common benefits that I've witnessed through my work is, the first one would be ease. That one of their first feedbacks is life has a new, you know, rhythm of ease. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because, and it is an interesting part of nidra quite often when, you know, you, it's, and like anything, you know, disease doesn't happen in 24 hours and we don't fix it in 24 hours either, with like, when we look through holistic wellness and medicine, that it, our nervous, this is kind of how I explain it to a lot of clients, is that our body is always looking for balance. It's one of its main functions is to constantly find homeostasis, right? And our monkey mind is not seeking that, right? Where our body is and our mind just isn't. It's such an interesting contrast. And I think that speaks to what you just said a few moments ago. So I always love that. If I ask clients to write down all the things, like just brain dump what's happening on your day. And then after the practice, like how many of those actually are standing out to you? Because through the practice, there's such an innate clarity that comes for so many people. And I always think it's just like a pattern interrupt when we feel overwhelmed and, you know, the backpack of life is just heavy. And I say, what can you put down? Put it all down. And just pick up what's actually yours. So ease. Ease is one of the big ones.
I think that's where the word disease also comes.
For sure.
So of course we can recommend yoga nidra for anyone in today's world, you know, who's living a very a lot of work, deadlines, sitting jobs, and not able to relax. This will be fantastic. However, is there any particular conditions where you feel yoga nidra helps them the best? Anxiety or difficulty falling asleep?
Yeah, it's definitely been a really good, I want to say sleep aid, but like a nighttime routine addition for a lot of my clients. It's really, really, either they have concerns falling asleep or they have concerns like with like long-term, like staying asleep. So that would be the first thing that one of the big feedbacks after like feeling ease in life is that it's really enhanced their sleep quality or quantity. It's great for anxiety. Sometimes the concern with like, if it's like a long-term anxiety, like a chronic anxiety, is that it feels almost harder to lay down. Like when you're always in that like high worry, anxiety space, laying down feels vulnerable for the system and for the client, right? So I think that sometimes we say, and I know this happens in meditation too, we prescribe meditation for this person and that person, but quite often it can be a little bit contraindicated for them. It feels almost, it for a certain personality, it feels like it's another thing I have to check off my list. So there, we're just kind of building on that anxiety or that like to-do, that kind of fire that some people will have around giving them, prescribing protocols and stuff. And then for others, it feels so foreign. I think that's really, I feel always sad to say that, but so many of my clients are so detached from what true silence feels like, right? It can, and I think sometimes with anxiety or depression, it can feel lonely. The idea of sitting in silence can feel lonely. And I love that yoga nidra still has like a calm, you know, voice over for them. Yeah.
In my experience, you know, once I didn't really know much about Yoga Nidra when I started my Ayurvedic practice. But in the last 2, 3 years, especially after the pandemic, we reinstated Yoga Nidra and Sitaram. Like, we had yoga teachers who specialized in Yoga Nidra. So every time I see a patient with difficulty falling asleep, including pain, including postmenopausal issues when women are having difficulty to let go, and because of that, even if they have any emotional eating disorders, anorexia, bulimia, or irritable bowel syndrome, gut disorders, or all the vata problems, wow, the result that we find when they keep doing, I mean, we do the Ayurvedic treatments, Panchakarma, and the diet, and all of that. But along with that, when we add and supplement Yoga Nidra, we just see such a phenomenal result with that. I mean, that's my experience that I've seen. And I just got convinced how much is Yoga Nidra so important. Actually, it's a very non-invasive therapy, and we can actually minimize a lot of the sales of these sleep aids that is going on today.
Agreed. Agreed, yeah. 'Cause like our bodies, the ability to normalize the craziness of the world and like the to-do lists and the overwhelm and feeling the need to keep up with others, like our body is so amazing and so powerful. Like it will normalize that for us, but it's not sustainable, right? It's very dangerous because then we think we don't need balance, right? When we kind of get caught up in like, I can take more on and I can keep moving, I can keep pushing through, right? And the pushing really, if we look at it at a cellular level, it's our cells are starting to break down because we're not like getting into that sweet spot of healing with like when we do when we sleep well and we rest well, right? And that's where like you're saying like it's a non-invasive way to be very proactive on reducing our stress and therefore reducing our potential for disease in the body. Because that high stress, poor sleep cycle is guaranteed to over time create disease. Because the body just does not have any time to detox, like at a cellular level, detox, restore, renew, rejuvenate. So I think that's so beneficial you've added that in. And it's like I say, it's so accessible. It's such an accessible practice.
Especially with today's technology, it's so easy to reach out. Even if you don't have a Yoga Nidra teacher right in front of you in physical form, the technologies, we have to take advantage of that as well. So, Jenny, if
Absolutely.
somebody is yet to start Yoga Nidra, okay, maybe they say, okay, this session can last up to 15 to 20 minutes or even up to half an hour. And they say, oh my God, I don't think I can deal with that. What would be the baby steps to get initiated or starting in Yoga Nidra?
And you're right. Like sometimes when I think even that happens with like yoga classes, people are like, I can't do yoga. That's an hour. So I always like to have recordings available that are shorter, right? So that is, I think, one of the best steps to initiate people in is to first have them prepare a space. Simply just taking the time to like, where would you practice? So when we start working together, is there a space that feels comfortable for you where you can minimize distractions? So even just doing that is mindful, right? So it's kind of like a beautiful beginning to the journey. And then I love to just initiate them with a body scan. You can do that in under 10 minutes. And that's generally always part of like the physical journey through the body, taking our awareness to different areas, is a part of almost every practice that I teach. So I think that gives them like a really good, this will be in every practice so that you kind of sort of know there'll be a big, different segments and this is a core one in all the practices. So I think that's a beautiful way to introduce people. And just bringing our awareness to different parts of our body and softening into them is magic in itself.
That's quite phenomenal. And I think, like, we increase our threshold with fitness or anything in that particular manner. Slowly, slowly, we can increase the duration, and that will also benefit. Is there any, in your experience dealing with so many clients with your, giving them yoga nidra sessions, is there any particular time that you advise for this kind of problems? If you have, this is the best time to do yoga nidra. Or, okay, I always tell them, if you have difficulty falling asleep, listen to yoga nidra and go to sleep. That's a good way to just say good night.
Yeah, if it's sleep that you're one of your main concerns, like if you're looking at like, a healing journey, like if we're giving like an Ayurvedic protocol through our clients, then yeah, if it's sleep and nervous system regulation we're looking at, then definitely it's a beautiful addition to your evening routine. Yeah. Mm. Just downshifting earlier and, you know, creating like a slow, easeful couple hours before you go to bed, right? And often, you know, people throw on Netflix and that's excitement and then they're eating when they're watching it. So, you know, but you and I deeply know this, that those two things linked later in the evening really impact your sleep. When your body's looking to do its most intimate healing, like I always tell everyone, what your body does between like generally 10, 11 at night to 2, 3 in the morning is free. You can't buy that in a bottle. It's such a gift that we forget to tap into, right? Like it's pure magic. And quite often we're working late into the night and we're eating late. And then instead of our body, like our whole physical self and our mind digesting, you know, the events of the day and the cells restoring and detoxing, it's digesting the food we ate at 10 and, you know, the scary movie or the concerning documentary we watched, right? So it's very important to be mindful of what we are ingesting late in the evening, especially when our main concern is our quality or quantity of sleep. I know I often laugh because I say, I know it seems that simple and it just sounds like common sense. It does. Mm. A lot of what we talk about in Ayurveda when we have new clients is so common sense based. It's just, unfortunately, with the busyness of the world, common sense is not always our common practice. So yeah,
that's well said.
Yeah.
Do you agree Shavasana, you know, in some yoga classes, you know, after you do that whole 45 minutes or 50 minutes of session, and then you're really looking forward for that Shavasana practice? Sometimes, you know, you see people coming up with shirts which has written, I'm here for the Shavasana. So, you know, you do the whole yoga session, and then at the time of Shavasana, some amazing yoga teachers, they give you a body scan. But that's something very similar to yoga nidra, right?
Yeah. Like for instance, this morning I taught the sunrise yoga, and I just kind of take a good feel of where everybody's at in the morning. And so I started with a body scan. And then we moved into more of a vinyasa style. And then I'm of the belief that, you know, there should be a good chunk at the end needs to be spent in stillness and rest. And often for me, that's even removing the music from the room so that people can, you know, use their senses to settle their nervous. I think that there's deep healing to be had through the senses, right? So it's just, it's such, again, so simple, but so beneficial. But yes, body scan, I kind of, on so many levels, it's very similar, right? Even as we're doing a vinyasa or like the asanas, we're very much intimate with the body. So and then ending a class to bring more of a subtle awareness to it in stillness is really interesting for so many, because it's where do you feel softness in your body? Where do you feel tightness in your body? Like bringing in some awareness around the contrast as well, which is also a big component of yoga nidra. Yeah.
I think it is about auto-suggestion, so that we talk ourselves to a way of deep state of relaxation. Can we just sum up yoga nidra as that?
Yeah. I agree with you. That's a good statement. I also think that you can also kind of, this is how I sometimes describe it too, is that it's an opportunity for you to downshift and for, I would say, maybe your body to manage your brainwave frequency, really. Because I think at a core, it's kind of stepping you down into the lower frequency brainwaves. And that essentially is where like the healing happens and the clarity. But yeah. Same idea for sure.
There is a word in Sanskrit called dhyan. Dhyan, okay. In many textbooks, so which translates dhyan, it states it's a state of meditation. But actually, dhyan is a state where your mind is inactive, or it's not very activated, or you're not overthinking, where you don't have to invest in thinking. That's what the word dhyan means. And in fact, if you see the word Zen, there is a way it got evolved from the word dhyan. Dhyan, when it went to Bhutan and China, it became Chan. And then when it went to Japan, it became Zen. So it's a state of, you know, being present and you're not thinking too much. You're just, I mean, of course, we will think too much. We will think, that's why we have this mind. In fact, the word for mind in Sanskrit is manas, which means to calculate, to assess, to look for what problems are going to happen, to be very predictive, calculative, speculative. This is what our mind is designed for. So when we have this inherent capacity, I think the more and more we practice yoga nidra, it will have a phenomenal effect, so that we can use the calculative part of our mind for something productive and creative and fruitful.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
So Jenny, I want to know, how was your experience with the mastermind?
Oh, it was so amazing.
But I would like to get your feedback as well, so that people who are interested in joining, I could like to share.
Oh, if you have the opportunity to join the next round, which I believe will be fall 2023, do not hesitate. It is a container that I had been desiring for so long. So when it opened last year, it was everything and more. Yeah. It's so nice to be able to learn authentically, to be able to have a community that's looking also for that authentic training, and just, I just say the word authentic because that's what it was for me. And I just truly deeply desire to continue to learn and share and teach from that place myself, right? In the West, a lot gets lost in translation because it comes from the East to the West. So I've always been like one of my I would say core pillars in my business is to teach from an authentic space. So to have a group, a mastermind to learn from you in that was priceless, really.
And is there anything unique that you felt in this mastermind that you could learn and that you could apply in your practice?
For sure, one of the most unique things about it is that we discuss cases and discuss different topics from a space that we can also share that with like clients and rogis very easily, right? So sometimes when you're in a lot of training for, especially like Ayurveda, a lot of it is, there's a lot of Sanskrit, there's a lot that's kind of taken from the text and moved into more of like an English form, I would say, for me. And a lot of people can learn that way, but I absolutely just was so pleased to be able to learn from a way that is easily relatable in the modern world, right? And still honors the lineage and the texts and the teachers before us.
Thank you, Jenny, for that feedback. How can people reach out to you more so that they can be part of your Yoga Nidra and your other sessions? And where are you based and what is the best way for them to reach? I will definitely put all of this in the show notes as well.
Yeah, I would say the best way is probably on Instagram. Most active there. So it would just be my first name and last name, Jenny Peach, on Instagram. And then through my website as well. And I'm a little bit on Facebook, but I prefer Instagram. It's just kind of my platform of choice. Yeah. Pretty much all my services are mentioned through there. You can join the Rest Collective. I offer one-on-one Nidra packages as well, if you just prefer to be more in more of an intimate space. And it's just part of my legacy to continue to teach and share Nidra. It was a big part of my healing journey, so from burnout to to really finding like a beautiful ease in life. Yeah.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Jenny. I would really look forward to sharing your work with the world and all the people who are listening. You can find her details in the show notes. And thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Ayurvedic Healing and Beyond. If you loved and enjoyed this podcast, please do subscribe, share, and review us. This helps to spread our mission of guiding humanity to becoming their healthiest self, and also giving the right resources for holistic healing. If you wish to know more about my work, please do visit www.vigneshdevraj.com. And if you are interested in doing an Ayurveda treatment or authentic Panchakarma therapy, please log on to www.sitaramretreat.com.